We begin the current daf in Sechta Sanhedrin daf Nun Tes. We begin on the second line down by the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues in the theme of the previous daf regarding unique halachas that pertain to non-Jews. Amar B'yechin Rebichin says another unique halacha that applies to a non-Jew. Eivet kechav mishaisik b'teira chayv misa. An idol worshiper who toils in Torah, he's liable for death. Why? Shnem of the Pasuk says, Nevarim, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. The Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded to us, Mayrasha. Lanu Mayrasha b'lei lehem. For us, it's a Mayrasha and not for them. And therefore, there's an element of theft, and as the Gemara will shortly explain. So first, the Gemara asks, B'lech shvaka b'sheva mitzvahs. Well, then why isn't this considered one of the seven Noahide laws? Why isn't there an eighth one, that of learning Torah? Says the Gemara, Manda amay mayrasha, which is a machlekes amiram, as it's brought in Mesachim, daf nemtesim abeis, regarding learning Torah in front of an ama aretz. Well, how do we translate the word mayrasha? According to the one that says we read it literally as an inheritance, so migzal kugazala. So, of course, they're going to be liable. It's already actually included in one of the seven mitzvah b'nei noach of theft. They're robbing our inheritance because Torah is for us, not for the non-Jews. And manda amay mayrasha, the one who reads it with a sin, not a shin, but rather mayrasha, that the Torah is our betrothed, kalo, dina kinar mayrasa de beskila. So then when the non-Jew learns Torah, it's as if he's being bought on nair mayrasa, on our girl that's engaged to us, which it's included in gilai reis, which is one of the shev mitzvah b'nei noach, which therefore, as we explained in the previous daf, which is one or two exceptions that non-Jew gets judged according to Jewish law, because they don't have the issa of nair mayrasa, where then he's going to get stoned. So, yeah, there is a Isra and a Chiv Misa for learning Torah, but it's either included in one of the seven mitzvah b'nei noach of Gezel or that of Nair Marasa, or of Kilai Reis. However, the Gemara asks Mesa, but the Gemara asks from the following Brisa on this teaching of Rabbi Yechonah. The Brisa says, Hayir Mei or Emir Mei would say, Minayin shafilo evit kachav ma'isik b'tayra. From where do we know that even a non-Jew who learns Torah, shehu kukayin godly, is as great as the high priest? How do we know? The Shnema, because the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, this is in Yudches Hei, where the Pasuk begins by saying, and you should safeguard my chukim and my mishpatim, meaning to learn Torah, so that through them a man will use them and live through them. Says Rameyer, Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Lo Inamra. The Pasuk doesn't say Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim, the Jewish people. El ha'adam, rather it says, the man, which Rameyer does not learn, as we mentioned this in the previous daf, that when it says in the Pasuk, Adam, you're called man, which only refers to the Jewish people and not to the non-Jews, that's how actually Rabbi Shimon has brought him Masech Zivam Estav Samach Alf Manalf. He disagrees, says, other man includes every living person. So Halamata says, Jamei, what you learn from this is, Shafila Eivit Kechavim V'Aisib HaTaira, that even a non-Jew who learns Taira, Hareka Kohen Gadol is as great as a Kohen Gadol. Because the Pasuk says that whoever learns Taira, even the Adam, even man, not just B'nai Yisrael. But one thing we see is that, we see that the halacha is that not only is he allowed to learn Taira, but it's even a great thing. How does Rabbi Yechonah say that a guy learns Taira is Chayiv Misa? Says the Gemara, Hasam Hashem and Mitzvahs did who? That teaching of Remeir was only if he learns and he's toiling over the seven Noahide laws to be proficient in them, that's a great thing for a non-Jew, that's like a Kohen Gadol. But if he's learning our Torah, which is not pertaining to him, then he's Chayiv Misa. Again, either because of theft or because of Gilai Reis. Now the Gemara goes back to Daf Nun Vav, where the Gemara was teaching the different Tanoim regarding what's included in the Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, he says, not just those seven that were mentioned, Af Hadam Menachai, another one of the Noahad laws that the Bnei Noach are Mechuyevin, is also consuming blood from a living animal. So the Gemara elaborates on this halacha, Tarbon Lina Braisa, that there's this machlekes regarding if this included in the midst of Bnei Noach. The Pasuk in Bereishis says, which this was says to the Bnei Noach, Ach, however, Basar Benafshi, however, the meat in its soul, meaning the meat of an animal when its soul is still alive, Damai, that's its blood. That's what we call its lifeblood. Loisechelo, then you can't eat that meat, says the Braisa, says the Tanakhama. Ze'eva menachai, that's referring to the prohibition which applies to Bnei Noach of taking a limb of an animal when it's still alive. But what does the word damai come to include? That is for a different drasha, as Gemara will tell us later on, which is actually coming to say that it's permitted to have eva menachai from a sheretz regarding a creepy creature. That's the Isra Evim Lachai is only on somebody that, as we'll see later, that the Basar is different from the Dam. But it's not, Dam is not teaching anything regarding a prohibition of blood. Whereas Chanina Megam Lilaim, as he was quoted previously, he says, no, Af Adam Menachai, the Pasuk is teaching us also a prohibition, not just from the Basar, from the Aver Menachai, but even the Dam Menachai. So says the Gemara, my time is Reb Chanina Megam Lilaim. What's the reasoning for his interpretation? Says the Gemara, because Kari Bey Basa Benavsh Le Seichel, Dama Benavsh Le Seichel. He reads the Pasig that says, Ach Basa Benavsh Le Dama Le Seichelu, as if it was saying, Ach Basar Benavshay, it's prohibited to have meat when its nefesh is still around, and Dama Benavshay, it's also forbidden to consume when to consume the blood when it's also Benavshay when it's still alive, which includes not only Avim and Achai, the meat from the living animal, but also the blood from the living animal. Says the Mav Rabbanim, what do they do with the word Dama? Hahu Lemishri Shratzim Huda Asa. That comes to actually permit the prohibition of Avim and Achai regarding a sheretz. And the reason, as we'll see on Lamed Beis, is because the Pasuk differentiates between the Basar and the Dam. In contrast to a sheretz, that there is no differentiation halacha between its dam and its basr, and therefore that prohibition of Avim Lachai was not going on a sheretz. Says the Gemara, Kayetza B'davat Omer, continues the Braisa, similarly you could say another machlekes between them is not just regarding B'nai Nayach, but even regarding Yisrael, is also regarding the prohibition of having dam and achai, regarding consuming blood from a living animal, from Har Sinai and onwards, because of that it's from a living thing, again, not because of the prohibition of dam. Says Reb Chanina, who he's the one that holds that there is an Isra of dam and achai for B'nai Noach, he says the same thing applies to B'nai Yisrael. That you find the Pasuk says in Devarim, Rak chazak, but you should be strong, levilti ach adam, not to consume blood, ke adam hu ha-nefesh, because the blood is the soul. As the Pasuk continues, where it says, v'li teichal ha-nefesh ha-mabas, and don't eat the soul with the meat. In other words, when it says in the beginning of the Pasuk, L'seichel Hadam, it's telling you at the end of the Pasuk, it's when the Nefesh is Im HaBasar. So as some Girsas have, as we have in the parentheses, Rak Chazak L'bilti Achal Hadam, when it says, just be, however, be strong, not to partake from blood, Ze'ivim L'chai. That refers to when the blood is still there in its lifeblood, which refers to the living limb, the limb from the animal when it's still alive. When it says, Ki adam hu nefesh, because the blood is the soul, dam and achai, that refers to the blood from the living animal. Now, so therefore he says that there's an iser of dam and achai, not just b'nei menayach, but also b'nei Yisrael. Rabbanan, however, they disagree, they would tell you, no, hahu, this that it has the iser of dam near the iser of even achai in the same pasuk is not to say that the iser of min hachai, from the living animal, applies to not only the meat, but also to the dam. They disagree just like they disagree by B'nai Noach, they disagree by B'nai Yisrael. Rather, it's coming to say a different Isser, L'dam HaKaza, for the blood that was let out through bloodletting, Shaneshama Yaitse by Hudasa, where it makes it's the type of blood that the soul is leaving the individual, that's what it's coming to include. It's for that type of blood that it's coming to say it near. In other words, because we would think to say, and that's what it's coming to say, not to say that the blood is only pertaining, as it says in Devarim Yud Beis, where it talks about the prohibition of consuming blood, by Vazavachta Mibkarcha Mibtsenchel. Where does it say the Isra of partaking of blood? When you're going to slaughter your cattle and your flock, where it's talking about the blood of slaughtering. There, from that passage, all we know is that's the type of blood that's prohibited. But regarding the blood of bloodletting, we would have thought that's not including the prohibition of blood. That's why the Pasuk equates it to Avim and Achai, to tell you, just like the limb from a living animal is prohibited because of its Isser of Min Achai, so too the blood from a living animal is also prohibited, not because Min Achai, like Reb Chanina learns, but rather because of blood, but however, as long as it's Dam Min HaNefesh, as long as it's taking out the soul. But if it was Dam HaKaza, the bloodletting blood, which is just someone just letting out blood and it's not removing the person's soul, the animal soul, that wouldn't be considered dam. But, however, the Rabban hold that it's only regarding the Isra of dam, but not regarding the Isra because it's alive. Now, the Gemara increases, the Chav Beis Manalf explains what is the type of dam of bloodletting, which is the soul is leaving the animal. That's when the drop starts getting black. That's when it's starting to get dark. That's when you know then the soul is leaving the animal. That's the type of Isra that the Torah is telling us. We know we're not allowed to eat the blood of an animal. Now that's when it's dead. When it's alive, says Rabban, we disagree. There's no Isser of Dam and Achai. However, if it's, we would have thought it's only Dam from Shechita. How do we know it's even Dam of Akaza? Again, only Akaza where it's that the soul is leaving, similar to Shechita when it's dying, when it's dead, not like Reb Chanina holds even when it's alive. That is what we learn from this pasuk, comparing it to Avim Nachai, where here it's the concept of Chiyas, here it's the concept of Dam, where it's going to be in old cases Dam, even if it's not through Shechita, even through Hakaza. So now the Gemara asks, Lama li lamichtav? Why does the Torah have to tell me the Isra of Avim and Achai li b'nei Noach? As we proved before, the Pasuk talks about Avim and Achai. Why did it have to be repeated by Har Sinai to warn the Jewish people from partaking of Erev Menachai? Do you think the Jewish people, once they accept the Torah, they don't have to fulfill anymore the original commandments of all of mankind, of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach? In other words, we understand why the Isra of Avodah Zarah and Gil Arayis was repeated by Har Sinai, was because their Isra, when it was said to the Bnei Noach, was not so explicit and so detailed as it is regarding the Bnei Yisrael. But Erev Menachai is very straightforward. Why was that repeated by Har Sinai, if anyways the Jewish people are commanded it because they're part of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, which they also have to do? So the Gemara could Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, because the Amr Yisrael Chanina, he said, Kol mitzvah sha nemar l'bnei Noach, any mitzvah which was said to the mankind before the Jewish people came around, v'nishnas b'Sinai, and it was repeated at Har Sinai, then lozeh lozeh nemar. Then that's a mitzvah which was said to both the Bnei Noach and the Bnei Yisrael, as the Gemara explained later on, from the fact that we know that the Isra of Avodah Zarah and Gil Arayis was repeated by Har Sinai, and we find that the non-Jews were punished even after Matan Torah for Avodah Zarah, as it says in Devarim Yudches, that the Jewish people should not do the Isra of Melech, which is the type of Avodah Zarah. And it says, and because of these abominations, the people in Canaan are being chased out. So too regarding Arayis, it says in Meyikud Yudches, that because all of these abominations, that's why the non-Jews in Canaan are being chased out. Obviously, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Jewish people, he did not take away those prohibitions for the Bnei Menayach. Rather, they maintained that. So you see that concept, when the Isra was given to Bnei Menayach and repeated by Har Sinai, then it applies to both. If it was only said to the Bnei Menayach and not repeated Har Sinai to the Jewish people, then actually Yisrael Nemra for Loi Bnei Menayach. Then, from Har Sinai onward, that Isra only applies to Bnei Yisrael and not to the Bnei Noach. Now, even though up until Sinai, it was commanded to the non-Jewish population, but since it was not repeated Har Sinai, as we find that by Avodah Zarah and Gil Arayis, it was repeated by Har Sinai, and therefore we find that the non-Jews were punished on it, obviously we see that the Jewish people who went out to a higher level of sanctity, they retained that Isser, but the non-Jews actually don't have that Isser anymore. Which Gemara later on is going to ask, why? How do you know that? Maybe the reason why it's not repeated by Har Sinai is actually because only the Bnei Noach are forbidden it, and not the Jewish people. Now the Gemara is going to answer that there's nothing that for a Jew is permitted and for a non-Jew is forbidden. When they left the category of Bnei Noach, it went out for a higher sanctity and not to be more lenient. Now, neither can you say that it would be pertaining to both, because then why did it repeat it by Avodah Zarah? Obviously, it's because that which is not pertaining, that which was not repeated, is actually not going to be by Bnei Noach. And therefore, and that's what the Gemara's answer is, had we not repeated the Isra Evim Lachai by Har Sinai, then I would have thought to say that actually it would not be forbidden to Bnei Noach anymore from Har Sinai and onward, and that's why we had to repeat it. Which, as we said, that Bnei Noach v'loi nishnas b'Sinai, if it was said to Bnei Noach and not repeated Har Sinai, then Yisrael Nemar v'Bnei Noach, and that's why we had to go ahead and repeat it, that it should be to both. And continues Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, v'onu ein lonu. However, we don't have any such example which was something that was forbidden to Bnei Noach and was not repeated Har Sinai, eli gid hanosha, except for the sinew that jumped, which was with the incident with Yaakov and the Malach of Esav, which when it was dislodged, then people were forbidden to partake of that part of an animal, v'alib Rabbi Huda, and according to Rabbi Huda, which the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kof Mem Beis discusses his opinion, that he says that the sons of Yaakov, in that time of history, were already forbidden to partake of the gid hanasha, a certain sinew in the animal's thigh, from that point onward, where at that point onward, that was before Ma'antar, they had halachic status as Bnei Noach. Now, because actually the Rabban over there disagree, and they say that actually the Isav Gid HaNosha was only said by Har Sinai, and not to the Bnei Yaakov, the sons of Yaakov. It was only written in the Torah in that point in time, but it was actually after Matan Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it there, based on what would be in the future, just that we should know that what's the reason why it was forbidden. But according to Rabbi Huda himself, that actually was only given to the sons of Yaakov, to the Jews, not to other Bnei Noach. And that's why it says Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael. Although we usually use it colloquially as the Jewish people, it really means Bnei Yisrael, the sons of Yisrael, meaning what was Yaakov Avinu's other name. And therefore that's an example of something that was only said to Bnei Noach, which was actually the sons of Yaakov, but they were the Bnei Noach at that time, and that was not repeated at Har Sinai, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore actually the Gid Anosha is only forbidden for Bnei Yisrael and not for Bnei Noach because it wasn't repeated at Har Sinai. And Rashi points out an interesting related idea that he says that this is the Gemara is saying over here, that those Isurim which pertain to Bnei Noach forever, like Eiv Nachai, they had to repeat at Har Sinai. Says Rashi, it's not because had they not repeated Har Sinai, then we would have thought that actually then we should learn it from Gid Anosha, which, as we just pointed out, was not repeated Har Sinai, and therefore was only us for Bnei Yisrael and not for Bnei Noach. And that's what Rashi, no, from there you wouldn't be able to learn, because ultimately, although we're saying it's something that was Nesla Bnei Noach and not repeated, and therefore then it's only us for Bnei Yisrael from Har Sinai onward, but really on some level it was only given to Yisrael, because even when the sons of Yaakov were Bnei Noach, it was only given for them and not for the other Bnei Noach, meaning the other people of the world. Rather, as we'll see, is because since it was repeated by Avodah Zarah, and that's why they were punished, we would have learned that only something that's repeated, and that's the halacha, is applies to Bnei Noach also, but things which are not repeated, then actually it's not going to be usher for the non-Jewish population. So Gemara explains this teaching. Amar Mar, the master had taught, any mitzvah which was said to Bnei Noach and was repeated Har Sinai, then, like we said regarding Eiv Nachai, that was set, or Avodah Zarah, as we'll see, that pertains to the Jews and non-Jewish population. Ask the Gemara, Adrabba, to the contrary, from the fact that it was repeated Har Sinai, sounds like Lisrol Nemer of Bnei Noach. It sounds like we want to tell the Jewish people this Isser, that it only pertains for them and not for the Bnei Noach. So says the Gemara, and because if it was pertaining to both, well, don't repeat it. We know they have to keep the Shevet Mitzvah Bnei Noach, they have to keep this also. Says the Gemara, Mid'isne Avodah Zarah Kalvin B'Sinai, no, we can prove that that's not true. From the fact that Avodah Zarah was repeated, it's one of the Aseres HaDibros, at Har Sinai, V'ashkechan Da'onash Avodah Zarah Kalvin B'Levavam, we find that non-Jews, idol worshippers, are punished for this, which, as we find, that was the seven nations of Eretz Canaan, as the pasuk says. The Torah warns the Jewish people: don't do these things that the Canaanim do, because that's why they were punished. Obviously, we can infer that things which were said to both, like Avodah Zarah, which was said to the Bnei Noach, and then there was repeated Har Sinai, and yet still we see that the non-Jews are punished after Har Sinai, like when they came 40 years later to Eretz Canaan, that's when they were chased out. Obviously, that only the things that are repeated are that they both are one, but if it's not repeated, then actually that would not pertain to the non-Jews. As the Gemara continues, the teaching continued, L'Bnei Noach, V'Lai Nishna B'Sinai, if it was said only to Bnei Noach, and not repeated Har Sinai, L'Yisrael Nemer V'Lod Bnei Noach, then actually it only pertains to Bnei Yisrael, and not to Bnei Noach. The Gemara is Adrap, to the contrary. Mendeloy Nishnas B'Sinai, from the fact that it was not repeated Har Sinai, sounds like L'Bnei Noach, Nemer V'Lod Yisrael. It sounds like it was only said to the Bnei Noach and not to Bnei Yisrael. In other words, like for example, Eivir Menachai, which was to the Gid Anosha, which was said only to the sons of Yaakov when they were still Bnei Noach. It sounds like for them, for Bnei Noach would be forbidden, and not to the Jewish people when they became Bnei Yisrael at Har Sinai, because that's why it wasn't repeated. It's only for the Bnei Noach. Says the Gemara, no, it can't be, because Leka Midam the Yisrael Shari. There's nothing that is permitted for a Jew. Ulayev Kachav Masa, and that's forbidden for a non-Jew. The Jewish people became a more stringent, higher level of sanctity. And if it's something that would pertain to the non-Jew, for sure it pertained for a Jew. So the fact that it didn't repeat means it only applies to one of them, it would apply to the Jew and not to the non-Jew. And that thing is not true. There's nothing that is forbidden to a non-Jew that's permitted to a Jew. But there's halacha that the beautiful maiden, when there's in a war that they vanquish, and there's the beautiful maiden that they take her in captivity, it's halacha that's permitted for a Jewish person, which is forbidden for the non-Jews, as the Gemara said, and Nafnan Zayinim and Aleph. Says the Gemara, no, hasa mishum delav b'nei kibush ninum. It's not because it's forbidden for them. It's because they don't enter into the category. They're not individuals that could conquer, because the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is actually the only area which is permitted this halacha of Yifas Torah, was only given over to conquer to the Jewish people. Because even for them, the Yifas Torah was only permitted in that war when they conquered Eretz Yisrael. So that's why it's forbidden for the non-Jews. But that would be forbidden for Jewish people also, not during the times of conquering Eretz Yisrael. So it's not because it's forbidden per se, it's only because they're not B'nai Kibush, and that's why it's also for them. So the Gemara continues asking, but v'aripachas meshavah pruta, but there is a halacha, when one steals less than a shavah pruta, from a non-Jew, there is a liability. From a Jew, there is no liability. So you see that there's something that's forbidden by a non-Jew and permitted to a Jew. So it's Gemara, no, hasa mishum delav b'nei mechilin. That's not true. It's actually the same halacha applies to both the Jew and the non-Jew. Even by the Yisrael, there is a commandment of gezel even less than the Shavah Pruta. It's just that less than the something worth a Pruta, in the Jewish person, the victim, he doesn't consider it as robbery. Because they are what's called mavra midaseihem. They overcome their characteristics, their traits, which they're merciful and they're forgiving for something so small. But the b'nei noach, they're achzarim. They're cruel, they're distant, they're disconnected, therefore they consider even something less than a Shavah Pruta as theft. That's why, but really the same issue applies to both. It's just because of their characteristics that there is a difference in halacha. So the Gemara continues that the teaching said, as we mentioned before, Kol mitzvah shenemar le b'nei noach v'nishn b'sinai, any mitzvah that was said to the b'nei noach and repeated har sinai, lezeh lezeh namar, so that applies to both the b'nei noach and the b'nei Yisrael. Then the Gemara continues as an asa namad beis, but vari milo, but circumcision. Shenemar le b'nei noach, it was said to b'nei noach, as we said before Matan Torah, everybody had the halacha b'nei noach. So although this was said to Avraham Avinu, but his children are b'nei noach, so it was said to b'nei noach. Like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, "Va'ata es brisi tishma, you shall safeguard my covenant," which was talking about circumcision. And "Venishnas b'sinai" was repeated by Har Sinai, as the pasuk says in Meyikra, "Uviyemish mini imol," and the eighth day they should circumcise. So Yisrael nemra v'loy l'bnei noach. So yet we see that it was only said for the Jewish people, not b'nei noach. And the reason how we know that is because it's not one of the seven mitzvah b'nei noach. But why? Since it was said to b'nei noach and repeated Har Sinai, it should apply to both Jews and non-Jews. Says the Gemara, no. It wasn't repeated at Har Sinai to say that it would apply to both. And that's why it's only pertaining to B'nai Yisrael, like that which was only said B'nai Noach and not repeated. Because it was only said to Avraham Avinu. Hahu, that pasuk in Meyikra was L'mishri Shabbos Udas. It was only said for a particular detail in Halacha to permit circumcising on Shabbos, which is Bayayim. Vefel B'Shabbos says the word Bayayim during the day, even at Shabbos. But the mitzvah was not repeated, and any mitzvah, as we said, that was only said B'nai Noach and not repeated, pertains only to the Jewish people and not to the non-Jews. But the Gemara asks very peripheral, but there is the mitzvah to be fruitful, multiply, to procreate. Shnemar le b'nei noach, that it was said to the b'nei noach, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, va'atem pruvu, it was said to mankind, to Adam HaRishon, you should be fruitful and multiply. V'nishnas b'sinai, and it's repeated har sinai, like the pasuk says in Devarim, leich amalehem, that Hashem said to Moshe b'nei noach, go say to the Jewish people, shuvu lechem lo aleichem, go back to your tents, which is the mitzvah to procreate. L'Yisrael, Nemar v'lev neich, and yet it was only said for the Jewish people, the mitzvah per v'yivah, and not the b'nei noach, not one of the seven mitzvah b'nei noach. Why? It was said to both, and therefore it should apply to both. So the Gemara, no, there also, hahu, that was not repeated har Sinai, the mitzvah per v'yivah. It's just because it was forbidden for them the 3 days before Matan Torah to go ahead and have tashmish, to have relations. So therefore, after the 3 days, it was obligated to go ahead and permit for them to go back and have tashmish again. Now, although by default, you would know it's permitted because it was only forbidden for 3 days, and now those 3 days pass. That's what the pasuk is teaching, that l'chol davar shebeminyan, that anything that was forbidden based on the counting of the court, meaning that they had said that this is a forbidden thing, even if the time already passed, tzarech min achal atir, you need another counting of the courts to count it another time to say that now it's permitted, even when the time passes. Hu da'asa, that's what it's coming for. But not to say that there's a mitzvah preview that we knew from B'nai Naich, which only applies to B'nai Yisrael because it wasn't repeated. This that it's saying over here is just to say that even though it was a temporary freeze on having relations, they had to unfreeze it by permitting it. Now, the Gemara asks, Ehachi, well, if that's the case, as you're explaining for both Pirviv and Milo, then every one of the Shev Mitzvah B'nai Naich that we said that was said to them and then repeated Har Sinai, then you could say the same thing. Then every single mitzvah, you could say, oh, you know why it had to be repeated? Because mishum milsa isni, because there is another element of the halacha that's why it was repeated. For example, avodah zarah was to specify the certain death penalty that's going to get, and regarding the certain types of services that are forbidden. Regarding gilai rice, you could say it was coming to say the types of punishments. You could say that by every single halacha that it really wasn't repeated, it was just saying it, that a certain element, like we said, for Mila to say on Shabbos, for Pirv Yevit to say it was just permitted to go back, and maybe therefore then the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach should only be forbidden for the Jewish people and not for B'nei Noach because it wasn't repeated. So nothing more says Nahachikam, and this is what we said. As Harami Hadr Umisni Balamali, why by these Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach did it repeat not just the concept, which, yeah, then you could say it's just for a certain halacha, but the warning too is repeated. Obviously, if repeated the warning, the prohibition, that it's coming to say that it's repeating the actual Isser again, therefore it was said to B'nai Noach and repeated B'nai Yisrael, that's how we know that those seven mitzvah B'nai Noach applied not just to the Jewish people, but also to the non-Jews too. Now, ask the Gemara, we said over there, Ve'ein lano ele giranosha b'levad. The only one that we have that was not repeated, which was said to B'nai Noach and not repeated Har Sinai, is the Isra of eating, the consuming, the part of the animal that's the gid had nosha, the sinew that had jumped. B'levad, only that case. But Rabbi Huda, according to Rabbi Huda, as we said, because only he's the one that says that was said to the B'nai Noach, and not like Rabbanu, who said it actually was never said to the B'nai Yaakov, it was only said by Har Sinai and just written in the Torah earlier. On that, the Gemara asks, why? Hanenami, these that were cases we just discussed of circumcision and Per B'Yevah, lo yisni. Those are also cases which you just said were not repeated, because he said that it was just for certain elements, but it wasn't repeated at Har Sinai, and that's why it only pertains to the Jewish people. So why is it said before that the only one that we say that was not repeated was Gid HaNosha? Says the Gemara, Hani Isni L'Shamilsa Ba'alma, that, okay, you're right, the warning wasn't repeated by Milan Perviv, but it was repeated for something, to say you could circumcise on Shabbos, that they were able to go back for Perviv. Ha, but the case of Gid HaNosha L'Isni Klal, it wasn't repeated at all. And that's why it wasn't counted, those two with that one, is because ultimately those were said to B'nai Noach and they were repeated by Har Sinai, it's just they weren't repeated for the warning. In contrast to this one, to Gid HaNosha, it wasn't repeated at all at Har Sinai. That's why we said that's the one case which wasn't repeated at all, which was said only for B'nai Yisrael and not for B'nai Noach from Har Sinai onward. Or the Gemara says, Iba Yisema, or if you want, you could say, that actually, Mila, regarding circumcision, no, most definitely at Har Sinai, not only was it for certain element halacha repeated that you could be mal on Shabbos, but it was even that the actual primary mitzvah was repeated again at Har Sinai. But then we said, well, then the question is, but Rabbi Yossi said, whatever was said to B'nai Noach and repeated Har Sinai applies to both Jewish and non-Jewish people. So then why isn't Mila considered one of the mitzvahs of B'nai Noach? It's actually because Mila was never originally initially said to B'nai Noach, even before Har Sinai. Because rather, Mi'ikara Lavram hu dekomaz alei rachmano. Although, yeah, we said that they had a status of B'nai Noach, but ultimately it was only said to Avram and to his descendants. So it wasn't said to the B'nai Noach at large, to the non-Jewish population. As the Pasuk says in Bereishis, Va'ates Berisi Tishma, you should safeguard my covenant. Ata v'zaracha acharecha l'derisam, it says explicitly that it's only you, your children after you for the future generations, which is ata v'zaracha in, you and your children, yes, in the Shachrin Lo, it's explicitly removing the non-Jewish population. So therefore here also that the children of Avram, who are the Jewish people, that's where it only pertains to, and therefore it's not something that's included in B'nai Noach and repeated Har Sinai, although it was repeated Har Sinai, it was never initially said to B'nai Noach. But then the Gemara asks, Elam atav, if that's the case, then B'nai Yishma l'chaivu. Then even now after Har Sinai, the children of Yishmael, the Ishmaelites, should be chayiv in circumcision because it was said to Avram Avinu and to his descendants, and that's the mitzvah that continues onward. So Zigmar, no, the pasuk says in Bereishis, ki be Yitzchok yikar l'chazara, because it's in Yitzchok that your children will be called, which is that we only consider the zera of Avram Avinu in Yitzchok, not his other son of Yishmael. But then the Gemara says, B'nei Esav l'chaibu, then if it's through Yitzchak, Yitzchak had two sons, Yaakov, who from there the Jewish people came, and Esav, then the sons of Esav, which is Edom, Rome, and the Western civilization, should also be obligated in circumcision. And that says the Gemara, no, be Yitzchak, in Yitzchak will be your seeds, which is v'loi kol Yitzchak, not even the whole Yitzchak. Rather, it's Yaakov, and not Esav, and therefore only Jewish people are the ones who are obligated in circumcision. Now, but Maskev Ravaitshi, he still asks, El Me'atim, if that's the case, then B'nai Keturah, the sons of Keturah, which are those six sons that were born to Avram Avinu later on from Hagar, they themselves, loy l'chaivu, should not be obligated in circumcision. Now, what ends up coming out is then we would have to then say that Avram Avinu did not circumcise all of his sons that he had in his lifetime, which is problematic because Avram Avinu would most definitely have had his children circumcised, but yet you're saying that the obligation is only bi Yitzchak, which only applies to Yitzchak and Yaakov. But then his sons from Hagar, B'nai Keturah, would not be obligated. That says the Gemara, Ha'amar Rabbi Yisrael Ba'oven, B'yitim, some say Rabbi Yisrael B'chanina, it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, where the beginning is talking about if a person does not circumcise the male through the flesh of the Mila, so then they get Karas, because as Brisi Hafer, he has nullified my covenant, which is L'rabbis B'nai Keturah, those extra words, he has nullified my covenant, comes to include the sons of Keturah, which was Avram Avinu's wife. Now it only includes those six sons, but not their children, as we see from the other pasuk, which is only the descendants coming from Yitzchak and Yaakov, but Avraham Avinu himself was commanded to circumcise all those that were born from him, which, as we find, the Tari Yishmael was circumcised, and so also the Bnei Keturah. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion of Evim and Achai that we were talking about regarding the non-Jewish people. Amar Yehuda Marav says, Adam Arishan loyhuta loybasal achila. First man, Adam Arishan, it was not permitted for him to partake of meat. So like it says the Pasuk in Bereishis, where it says that Hashem told them, here I've given you all the herbage, all that which is that the seeds which are planted, and all the trees that have fruits for there. And it says, Lechem yila achla, for you it should be for consumption. Ulechol chayisarts, and all the wild animals on the land. Which the Pasuk is saying, for you and for the wild animals have I given all the herbs and the trees and all the grass to eat. But what it teaches is, V'loy chayisarts lechem. But I have not given the wild animals of the land for you, which is that you both could eat the herbage, but you cannot eat the wild animals. Now, however, when the sons of Noach came around, which was that was after the period of the Mabel, then he tir lahem, then he permitted for them to eat meat. Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk, ki yarek esav, like the herbs, like the grass of the herbs, which I had made hefker for Adam Rishon to partake, says Hashem to Noach, Nesati lechem, I have given to you now, as kol, everything, meaning not just the herbs, which I had said for him is permitted, I have given you everything to eat, which includes even animals and wild animals. Now, continues the teaching, Yochel lo yehei evim in achai noig, so you think now it's permitted to eat meat, that the prohibition of a living limb from the living animal would not pertain to be prohibited. Tamalim, as the Pasuk teaches, no, ach basa benafshe domo leisechelo, however, the meat in the soul, when there's the blood, then don't eat it. When it's still alive, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat the limb of the animal. Now, yochel af leshratzim, you would think that even for these little bugs, these shratzim, that the iser evim and achai would be forbidden for that, for the non-Jews too. Tamalim, ach, that's the Pasuk teaches, ach, that, however, which is a minimizer type of a terminology, that it teaches you that, no, the Isra Ibn Achai applies only to animals, not to Shiratzim. Ask the Gemara, my Talmudah, what's the teaching, what's the learning over here? Where do you see over here that what's being excluded is Shiratzim, and maybe other animals are excluded and not Shiratzim? Amar Funi says, no, because the Pasuk says, and this is what we reference on Amid Aleph, Damai, which according to Rabbanan, that's how they're learning from the word Damai, not like Reb Chanina who said that Damai was teaching Dam and Achai. When it says Damai is superfluous, because it could have said, Basa benafshe leisechelu, when the meat is in its soul, when it's still alive, don't eat it, which is when the nefesh is in it. Then it's telling you, Al-Tech Esbasar, don't eat its meat. Why does it say benafshe Damai? What, don't I know that the soul is the blood, that's the lifeblood of a living creature? Rather, it's coming to teach you, Misha Damai cholik me besare. The type of creature that its blood is considered distinct from its flesh, where the dam is called nefesh and the bus is called baser. Yatzur shiratzim she'ein damim chalak mimpsam. That excludes shiratzim where their blood is not considered different and distinct from their flesh, where actually their blood is not called dam. When the Jewish people were warned regarding partaking of blood from a creature, they were not warned on the blood of shiratzim because of the isra of dam. Rather, you're not allowed to partake of the dam of a sheretz because, as its flesh, it's forbidden to partake of the flesh of a sheretz. And actually, that's what the Gemara says in Masechtas Krist of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph regarding partaking of the blood of a sheretz. If one is warned regarding because it's a sheretz, then he gets lashes. If he's warned, oh, it's blood, he actually won't get lashes because he wasn't warned on the right isser. The isser is only for sheretz, like it's basar, but not for that of dam. That's what's being excluded from damai, that the b'nei noach are not forbidden regarding the dam of a sheretz, only dam, meaning that for the aver min achai from a sheretz, it's only for the aver min achai of a living animal because only something that has damai different from the basar, that's where there is the isser aver min achai in contrast to a sheretz. But the Gemara says, Mesir, the Gemara asks, the Pasuk says, Uridu bidgas hayam. Adam Rishon was told that you should go ahead and conquer in the fish of the sea. Now, my lav lachila, what was he said to conquer? Obviously, it's to be able to consume them. So you see that he was allowed to eat flesh. So the Gemara, lo ilim alacha. It's only to work the animals. The Gemara says, bedogam ilim alacha, then what? And for fish meant to do work? The Gemara says, yes. Because Rechava, like we find by Rechava, the Bar Rechava, that he had asked the following question, Hinig be'iza v'shivuta. If someone goes and pulls a wagon by attaching it to two creatures, one a fish in the sea and one a goat on dry land by the edge of the sea, and they're both leading the carriage, my, what would halacha be? Would the person who does that get lashes because of what's called klaim. There's a prohibition of having two different animals go ahead and pull a wagon. Would that be considered the isser of klaim? Because one is a creature of the sea and one is a creature of the land. Where, because the isser of plowing with a shervach hamariach of an ox and a donkey together is not specifically only an ox and a donkey, it's any two types of creatures, as the Gemara says above a common. The question was, however, one's a land creature, one's a sea creature. But one thing you see is that even a sea creature, like a fish, could be used to do work. And therefore, that's what was said to other Marishim, but not to eat it. The Gemara says, Tashana, however, let's bring a raya where the Pasuk says after, it says, he was also given over to conquer the birds in the heavens. My love lachila, isn't it what the bird's for? Isn't it to eat its flesh? So the Gemara, loy lamalacha, that's also was given for him to be able to use them for work. The Gemara says, well, if it's a bnei malacha, then can you do work with a bird? So the Gemara, in yes, can the bayi rabbi barav huna, as he had a different halachic question which pertained to the work of a bird. Dash ba'avozim etan ha'goyim, he says, if someone plows, if someone threshes with geese and with chickens, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what would the halacha be? What does that pertain to? The Mishnah Masecht in Perek HaSeichas HaPoilim says regarding if a worker was using only his hands and not his feet, or his feet and not his hands, halacha is, which is when they're the end of the harvesting, the worker is allowed to eat, that allows him to eat, as it says, Kisavah became Re'ach, when you come to the vineyard of your friend, which that's talking about by the worker who is there at the end of the season. Now, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, the worker cannot eat until he's using both his hands and his feet. How does he know that? Because the Pasuk compares it to Lisachim Shar, to the Isra of not to muzzle an animal when it's working, which is both the ox uses its hands and its feet. It uses all its four legs. So that's how we compare it to the worker also has to be using his four, meaning his legs and his arms. Now, regarding that halacha, Rab had asked, according to this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, let's say he's threshing with geese and with chickens, which only have feet, they don't have the two hands. What would that halacha be? Would the person violate the muzzling of the animal or not? Do we say that, like we said regarding an ox, as we learned at the halacha of the pile too, that you have to have both the hands and the feet, and here you don't have, and therefore there wouldn't be any iser? Or maybe, no, and it means to say your hands and feet, because you have to use all your energy, like the ox, which, whatever you have four hands, then you got to use all four hands. But here, where you don't have, you only have two, but if you're using everything that there is, then you have that. So that was his question, would that be also the iser? But one thing we see is that the animals, even the birds, can be used for work, as we see geese and chickens being used to thresh. Moses Toshimal is bringing a raya from the pasuk continues. It says, and Adam Rishon was told that he should conquer ubuchol chayre hermeses al arz, and all the wild animals that crawl over the earth. Now, if it wasn't meant for eating, wild animals that roam the earth, are they meant for work? So the Gemara, yeah, hahula asuya nachash v'dasa. That was coming to include the snake and for work, because a snake is an animal that could do work, and it's a wild animal that roams the earth. Before it was cursed to go on its belly, the Talmud learned the Brayser Reb Shimon ben Menasya. He says chaval, a loss, like a term of woe and bemoaning and bewailing, that it's a term of that it's worthy that for someone to bemoan this. Al shamash gadol sha'avim na'olam, regarding this great servant that was lost from the world. Shel mali lo niskal nochish, because had it been that the snake, the primordial snake, had not been cursed. Every single Jewish person would have had two good snakes. One they would send to the north, one they would send to the south. To get these, it's a certain type of a precious gem, to bring these gems to him, and precious stones, and margolias, and pearls. He would have gotten, the snake would have brought this all for him. Not only that, they would attach a string beneath his tail, and he would bring out earth to the person's garden, to his ruins, and that's a type of a creature which is a chaya hermeses, which is a snake, which is could do work, which we lost at after the curse of the nachash. But we see that all these types of creatures could be not for, as we said, not for consumption, because Adam Rishon was forbidden, but rather it was only for the work that it could do with them. Now the Gemara says meisve. However, the Gemara asks, we learn the following braisa that says, "Hayyur Bihudim and Teimoim." He says, "Adam Arishin Mesa Began Eden Hayyur." He was reclining in the Garden of Eden, and Vahayu Malacha Shard suddenly Basar, and the ministering angels were roasting meat for him. Which this is the question that we see that obviously he was permitted for Adam Arishin to partake of the meat of animals, but it continues Umisan Lo Yain, and they sifted wine for him.
hits it by Nachash, so the snake looked at him and he saw his great honor. And he was jealous by him. But one thing we see is that you see that Adam Rishon did eat flesh. Says the Gemara, that was talking about flesh which came from heaven. Says the Gemara, Mika Basa Yirid Minashamayim, is there such a thing as flesh that comes from heaven? Says the Gemara, in yes, ki had the Reb Shem Mechalafta, like it happened with Reb Shem Mechalafta. Have a cause of Orchid, he was once going on the road. Pogubai Hanach Aryavasa, he encountered these lions, the Abukunami Lape, that were breathing in his face, they were ready to eat him. Amar, so he said a pasuk in Tehillim, Hakafir Mashayagim Latarf, the young lions are screaming out for food. And the Chisalei Tartat Masa, it came down from heaven two thighs of meat. Chadachlu, one the lions ate, but Chadashkafku, and one they left. So Aisei, Vasalabi Midrash, so he brought that piece of meat with him and he came to the study hall. And Bailah, he asked regarding the piece of meat. David Tama, who is that? Is this something not kosher? Or David Tara, is it something kosher? Amalai, they said to him, Ain David Tama, Yerim Nishamayim, nothing unkosher comes from heaven, and therefore it's permitted. Now, Baimene Rebzeir Merbavo, but Rebzeir asked from Merbavo, let's say Yardulay Demus Chamar Mahu, let's say it comes down from heaven in the image of a donkey. Would we say that most definitely that is not kosher and therefore forbidden because it's in the shape of a donkey, which is a non-kosher animal? So Amalei, so he responded to him, Yarid Nola. He says, retarded tannin, which is a type of a bird, which is retarded and it's always crying and always wailing. Ha'amrilei, they said to him, Ein davar tama, yarid min ha'shamayim. There's nothing that's impure that comes down from heaven and therefore it's not possible, even if it's in the shape of a donkey, it would still be kosher because meat that comes from heaven, and that's what Adam Rishon had. And if it's not difficulty, yes, Adam Rishon did not partake of flesh. That is something different because that's basar min hashamayim.